Bridget, you had your best ARC of Menards West Series race to date with an ace at Sonoma. So while there were some tough moments, as we discussed, you know, before the call, how excited are you about your strong day at Sonoma and how it can possibly carry over with momentum for the rest of the year?
Oh, well, Sonoma was a great experience. It was my first road course race for the ARCA series. I was feeling very confident. I did get seat time the weekend beforehand at the NASA event, which I'm very lucky to have. So I came into the weekend very confident and strong with myself, the car, and my team. Of course, there's always going to be challenges. I did not have, like, a top car, if to say, but, like, I'm always positive with what I have, and I knew that I definitely had a top 10 car. I was honestly aiming to try and get a top 5 finish. I certainly tried. I definitely did get up to, like, 5th place. And unfortunately, getting turned did not help, but I definitely drove back to 8th. But it was a great weekend, and I think it's just a good starting momentum for the season. I'm looking very forward to, like, a couple of these races. I'm really happy to do the road course in Portland, Oregon. It's been a while since the series has been back there. So I'm excited to go back to that road course. I've studied the track, watched a lot of old races on there. And I'm also excited for the Bullring. I love the Bullring. So those two tracks I'm really excited for. And just the whole season in general. I'm very happy with the car I have. We're still learning. So I actually have an old Cup car, which is exciting. And it's really fun to work on that car because I just see a lot of certain Cup names like Roush, or I have Joe Gibbs parts on there, and it's really cool working on that car, and it's a family team, and we're definitely getting stronger at it, smarter at it, and I'm looking forward to the season.
No, it's certainly showing how much you're invested with this year. You know, you learned a lot from last season being competitive, despite the fact it was kind of a really quick but short season. Whereas this season, it's 9 races, a little bit more spread out than last year. But you, like you said, you've got the race to look forward to at Portland. You've got the Bullring coming up, and then a lot of other races, like the one in, I think, Colorado, a nice little short track there that you'll be contending at later this year. And one of the things I wanted to say was, you know, the first two ARCA races in the West, you not only got to compete with these cars, but you also got to go against some of today's young NASCAR stars. So, you know, when they compete in your races, how much does it motivate and fire you up when you know you get to battle with them on the racetrack?
Well, I think it's really cool as a lot of us young drivers are in the series. It's very interesting to learn how we all are because I think we're all different. I do love it. Like, for example, at Sonoma, being in 5th place and just a couple places ahead is Chase Briscoe. Like, moments like that are really cool. And I thought it was really cool to watch his line. So being in a series and having different types of drivers it's honestly a blessing. I think it's really fun. It's also a good challenge because a lot of young drivers are alike. We're very competitive in certain ways, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit, it is really cool. Yeah, when Chase gets the race here, Zane Smith, although his two starts have been kind of less than how he's hoped it to be, but still, it's kind of like when you're an Xfinity driver and you get to go, like, you get the Cup drivers to race against you. A lot of them are always looking forward to that challenge, so it sounds no different when they're up in the ARCA West Series.
Yeah, it is really cool. I just remember, like, driving behind Chase Briscoe and just, like, watching how he throws the car and like, the amount of control he has. And it's really cool because it's, like, you see that and you're like, yeah, that's why they drive a Cup or Xfinity and they're in a higher level. And it's just learning from those drivers, like, what to do and how to handle the car. Although I do have to remember there's two different, you know, budgets of cars. So I definitely have to work with what I have. My car handled a fair amount of Sonoma very well. I my car was struggling in a few areas, but again, it's just working through it, managing it, and working with what I actually have. So I enjoyed that.
You did a really stellar job out there to do what you did and to overcome all that you did on a really, you know, up and down day. Getting a stop tent, no matter what car you're in at Sonoma, is no easy feat. So a lot to be proud about for sure, and especially with how high stakes racing is. And speaking of that, you know, we have talked in the past about the risks involved in motorsports, but also too, you know, like life, racing can have its heated moments with, you know, whether it's with yourself or even with people on the track. So how do you get past those moments where a driver has wronged you and you just need to move on?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I'm very thankful to have my dad as my spotter sometimes, just a really good spotter in general. They just calm me down, and it's like, as a driver, you really need to keep your head straight. I will admit, when I was turned in turn 11, it was just getting spun out there. I was frustrated. I was in fifth place. It's the highest place I've been in yet. And it's just one of those things where it's like, if you stay frustrated from that moment, you will, for one, just kill your tires because you're willing it more than you should. And it's, you know, you want to keep your head focused so you get your lines right and you don't make any more mistakes yourself. I was very frustrated, but yeah, it's just, I knew I also had a halfway caution coming up, so I was just like, okay, well, I have X amount of laps left. I'll work with what I have. And I know that when I get a new set of tires, I know what number of cars I can easily pass due to lap times. And I really just stay focused. My parents were pretty impressed with that because they knew I was not happy about getting turned, but it's one of those things where it's like, it is what it is. Like, I say that almost every day when something happens. I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. I'll just work with it and move on and just do better.
That's true. I mean, sometimes in life you just have to dust it off. Got to say, you know, yeah, it is what it is. Roll with it. But, you know, roll with the punches, because that's how life is. You know, it's going to have its unfair moments, but it's how you respond to it that, you know, can define you. And that's one thing I was really impressed with when I was, you know, keeping track of the race on Saturday, and hearing Charles Kral's analysis of you on the track. I was like, yep, that's Bridget. I know she can do it. And sure enough, you backed up my belief on how you would fare in the car. And, you know, the nice thing about the season, and especially with Sonoma, it had an awesome turnout with fans being back in the grandstands and the infield. You know, I know how much you love interacting with those fans. So, I mean, as a driver and just as you, you know, when you got to race out there on the racetrack and have them in the grandstands, how was that like to have that normal feedback with those race fans, you know, wanting your picture or autograph and watching what you get to do on the racetrack?
I honestly had a blast with that. It's definitely like my second favorite part of a race weekend, just being there for the fans and making smiles. And it's, for me, it's like, as soon as I got out of the car, and I was just drinking water, I just noticed all these fans that were like very close to my car in the grandstands. Obviously they couldn't walk through the hot pit, like they probably usually would. And, for me, I just wanted to be there for them because unfortunately it's not like we had an autograph session where we were able to interact with the fans like usual. But I still wanted to be that driver and take the time of the day because it's like they came out there. A lot of them have driven so far just to watch us race. And I think us drivers owe our fans a lot for that. So, therefore, it's like every time I was out of the car, I was signing stuff. I was signing other people's helmets. So, like, there were a couple of people that brought a helmet for me to sign. I just thought that was so cool. Or, like, just signing hats and taking pictures with people. I walked through the grandstand area and just interacted with them. I don't know if any other drivers did that because I didn't notice I was the only one that was doing that, but I love doing that and making other people smile. I was so happy to see that, and I hope I see more of that this year.
I hope so, too. And that's the thing I was thinking about, you know, when this year started, with knowing that things would eventually get better, and that I just feel like all around no matter if you're the driver, a pit crew, press, or a fan. I just feel like there's such a renewed energy to be at the racetrack. So I feel like when things eventually get to where they can be in the garage or pits, you know, I can imagine you guys will be so excited to, you know, get to talk to them, and even if they're not a fan of yours, and, you know, getting to have that little interaction with them, it makes all the difference between an empty racetrack, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because my parents and I have, like, a small stack of hero cards left. And I kind of asked my parents, I was like, oh, Athena, should I take them? They're like, well, we asked, like, if there's going to be an autograph session, and apparently they said no, there wasn't. And I kind of just assumed, like, oh, maybe the drivers won't actually be allowed to interact with the fans. And it's funny because as soon as I interacted with a couple of them, I was like, I knew I should have brought my hero cards. And I was kind of mad. But it was still being able to, like, just sign their hats or whatever they brought and take pictures with them. And I think it's also big on social media, just, like, I want people to know that if they're at a racetrack and they would like to meet me, that I am available to them. And just being there, because it's like, again, they come out there to watch me race, and I think I should give them the time of day as well.
That's what makes racing such a unique series and like a unique sport compared to other sports out there. I mean, a lot of people, of course, will still love Big Four here in the U.S., but, you know, with auto racing, I feel like there's such a great level of intimacy that fans can have with the people in the sport. That, you know, that's why I feel like no matter how long I've been following it or covering it, you know, that's what makes it so interesting to me, to say the least. And it kind of goes along with my next question here about, you know, how in some ways, and I notice how great you are with this, racers, I feel like, have to be their best hype person or salesperson in terms of fan and sponsor engagements. You know, in recent years, obviously, social media has been kind of the best way to connect with them. When you guys are not at the racetrack with them, you know, you've got TikTok, Instagram, and all those other, you know, platforms. So, you know, with how savvy you are with social media, how much of it has paid dividends for you, not only with gaining attention with your career, but getting new fans?
Yeah, I definitely had to, like, push my social media during COVID because I was like, oh, dang, I can't see these people in person. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm not actually, like, I'm not a huge fan of social media. I'm not a huge camera person, I guess. And recently I've pushed myself a lot to do more for social media and connect with the fans because it is important. And, like, because the fans weren't able to come to the races, it was just one of those things. Well, social media is the only way to connect to them, so I'll do more on it. And I've definitely been trying to grow my social media and trying to TikTok. but it's a learning experience also. You're constantly trying to adapt to the new trend, and connect yourself with new people. You're trying to reach out to different generations, male, female, and trying to also get into each of their interests. So for me, I love NASCAR, and the thing is, like, I also put my interest in a couple things just for my fans, and, like, also just for extra seat time. Like, I'll use the example of drifting, if to say, and it's like I have a little drift car, and I do use it. The reason why I use a drift car is just because you have more car control, you learn more car control of having a loose car. And the thing is like the audience for drifting might be a little different from NASCAR, but being able to combine those two is something that I'm interested in. And yeah, just reaching out to different people and try and get them more involved in NASCAR. So I think it's really cool. It's a learning experience, and I'm doing better at it. So social media is definitely bigger.
You know, if you would have fooled me when you said you're not quite, you know, it's not your favorite thing. You're really proficient with it in a way that I feel like it's such a unique new form of communicating with the fans, versus when I started watching it, you know, we would just have to wait to watch it on TV, and watch interviews and stuff where, you know, you're really good about it, like with your short videos, the IG and TikTok stories, which I think is, I like it because it shows a little bit of your personality, I feel, and you even poke fun at yourself too with your fire suit with the kangaroo in the back, which I thought was really funny. I love that. It's like, it's so, you know, the nice thing about this on the side, it's like if someone's having a bad day and they're just watching your stuff, how can you not feel better after what you do? It's just so fun and it's so lighthearted.
Yeah, it's, I definitely keep all my social media positive as much as I can. And the thing is, even after like a bad day at the track or just like a tough race, it's one of those things where I know that I am doing what I love, doing what I'm passionate about. And, you know, it's just, I'm at a racetrack. I should be happy. And I spent the whole week at Sonoma Raceway, and I like literally slept at the track the whole time. And I enjoyed it so much. Like waking up there was so cool, watching the sunrise, the sunset. So it was just one of those things where it's like, how could I not be happy? And like even getting the flight and coming back home to Utah, I was just like, wow. That was a great week. Like, it was tough, but it was great. and I know that not many people were able to go to that race because they also had a 30% capacity thing. So with that being said, it's just I wanted to make sure my followers felt like they were almost there just by watching each moment that I had. So I definitely like to make people smile, even through social media, as much as I can.
No, I felt like I was at the racetrack just because, like you said, you were pretty much, you know, documenting as much as you could during the whole race week. And that's really cool to hear that you actually basically spent all day and all night at a racetrack. I can't think of a driver. I mean, unless you're in an RV. I mean, otherwise than that, I mean, I don't think of many drivers who do that. So that just shows to me right there, not that I didn't know, but you really do love racing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could have got a hotel, but, you know, for us, we had our toter home and our double stacker trailer, and, like, a toter home, it's kind of like an RV, but it's much smaller, and it was just my parents and I in there, and, like, you know, my parents, they're just as passionate about racing, so we were happy to be there, and the staff at the racetrack, they were so nice. And everything there was so enjoyable. And, yeah, it's just trying to have fun with social media on it, too. And I try to, like, do a bit more on TikTok. I'm still trying to figure out that out.
what could I say?
but, yeah, it's just making other people smile, even through social media.
Yeah, to say TikTok is something that, you know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. It feels like it's the it platform right now, and I tried to resist it just because of the fact that it was like, oh, I don't know, this is a little bit too young for me, but obviously it's something that can, as a driver, you're also kind of your own content creator in a way, so I mean, in a way, it's a really good connection for sure with that, and like you said, you try to use social media as a means of instilling positivity, which is, I think, that's a refreshing thing for sure, just because we can all have different opinions about social media and how it impacts our mental health and our mental well-being. Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things I've been thinking about lately, too, is just, like, racing as a whole. We love it, you know, but it can be quite intense, not only with our well-being and our emotions, but our mental health. So, I mean, from your standpoint, how important has it been for you to be in tune with your mental health in a competitive industry like ARCA and NASCAR?
You know, I certainly do agree with you with social media and mental health. Like, it can definitely add a lot of pressure in some ways, because social media, it's allowing you to see what your competition is also doing, and you're just like, how can I be better? And it's like constantly getting to you. And I think it's just, as a driver, I'm not just competitive on track. I'm very competitive off track. I see everything, almost everything, as competition. Because for me, it's like I have to work for my sponsorship and keep racing. Therefore, I have it in my head every day. What can I do better? Mental health is definitely a huge thing for racing. There have been times where it's like, I really just need to put my phone aside, work on my car, and pretend like social media does not exist today. there's definitely days like that. And for me, I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself. You will feel pressure from people around you, or even the close ones, close friends or family. You feel pressure from that, but it's the pressure that you put on yourself is where it's all at. And for example, after my race in Sonoma, I kind of just had to sit down for a second because it's like, I'm hearing all these people say girl, you willed it. That was great. And just all these amazing compliments. But to me in my head, I was so disappointed in myself that I did not reach my goal of a top five. And it's just little stuff like that can easily get to me. But again, it's holding that pressure above yourself to be a better person, a better driver, better athlete. And you're just compounding yourself with all these things. And yeah, once in a while, you really have to put everything aside and focus on yourself.
That's so true about life. And you bring up a really good point about, when you do well or, how the people around us, our support system. Yeah, I can relate to what you just said, where sometimes it does feel like you have that added pressure because, maybe the obvious, I'm going to stay here. You don't want to let them down because they're just so supportive of you. And you know that they're going to be no matter how you do. But of course, being a human, we always want to do better. I think the biggest competition we face each day is within ourselves. You've got your competitors. Yeah, you got your competitors for the championship and on track for those top fives and possible wins. I think I can understand where you're coming from where, you had that goal and you're thinking, I came short of it. But there's also circumstances that, kind of change things up for that. So you did the best you could. And, there's other races out there that you can do. So it will happen eventually. Not that I'm trying to add pressure. So I'm just, I'm really impressed with how you have worked so hard and you don't let a lot get to you. I've noticed that just from watching the races on the telecast, your tweets, and just a lot of things I've seen over the years and covering a lot of different drivers out there. You just have this killer instinct attitude, but you also have a good, balance of what you need to do to be the healthiest person you can be. So I think that in on itself is going to be really successful for you for a long-term career in racing. So certainly keep that up.
I appreciate that.
No, for sure. you're gonna do some great things for sure. And a lot, I noticed too. You were quite excited about Portland coming up. Well, it's obviously a trend in stock car racing where I feel like it's gravitating more towards more road course racing. The Cup cars are going to the next gen car next year, and I'm not a car person, but I kind of feel like they're trying to make it so that it's more identical to being on the street because when we're driving our regular cars, we're not going in an oval. We're driving left and right, up a hill, down a hill, in the rain, heat, how pumped up are you? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I was going to say is one of the reasons why I actually love road course also is that it separates. Now, don't get me wrong, of course, there's a huge difference between a good car and an okay car. But a road course, it really helps separate, driver talent. And I think it definitely equals out the track or the field. And one of the reasons I truly do love road courses is that there will always be a challenge. You'll always find your weakest point, your strongest point on track. And you can find that on Oval too, but you're only going to find it on four corners. When it comes to road courses, you're messing around with 8 to 12 corners, depending on what track you're on. As weird as this might sound, it's like I love upshifting and downshifting gears because it's adding more to your driving. I do love road courses. I'm looking forward to Portland. And honestly, if I can fit it into my budget this year, I'm also trying to do Watkins Glen. So that will be exciting as well, if I can manage to make an extra budget for it. So I'm looking forward if I can go to Watkins Glen as well. But yeah, one of the reasons I love the Bullring is I think it's an exciting environment to be in Vegas. And the Bullring track, I just think it's how smooth it is. And it's kind of like Irwindale, but, like, the corners are slightly different. And I don't know, something about the Bullring I just enjoy.
There's a lot of history with that track, too. You know, even though it's such a young track, well, not really young anymore, but anything from the late 90s is young to me at this point. I mean, come on, it's not going to be old ever in my life. But... You know, like, it's such a track that's built a lot of now current NASCAR drivers. Obviously, the Busch brothers cut their teeth there, and they often talk about, and they've talked about it with me, how it taught them the fundamentals of racing. I mean, you talk about why you love road course racing, and yes, and I think I totally agree. You know, it does challenge a driver all around, and it does kind of even the playing field a little bit. Whereas, like, a Bullring at Las Vegas, obviously, I feel like, I mean, you could probably attest to this when I say that it doesn't just teach you the fundamentals of oval racing, but it also kind of gives you that mindset of how to, like, decompartmentalize the tough moments on the track, to get tenacious and grab the steering wheel a little bit harder, just overall, like, what it is to be a stock car driver.
Yeah, I think a fun thing about short track racing also, short ovals, such as the Bullring or All-American Speedway, is, like, everything is down to the tenth of the second. Like, it's, like, you cannot be off by a second or else it's a guarantee you're going to get lapped somewhere in the race. And last year, in the old blue car, it was definitely like that. And it was really, like, frustrating, especially with, like, the confidence level. After driving the blue car and then buying the car I have now, when we bought the car and we were heading off to Phoenix, I was just like, you know, this car is kind of going to show where I am. And going to Phoenix, even though I had the fuel problem, I was still pretty happy with the car I had. And how I was driving it, I think, went well. And then going to Sonoma and, like, being able to go to fifth place, it shows. But, yeah, every track just has something that I love, even though I might have a weak spot at it. It's a fun challenge.
And I think you're responding very well to the challenge. You're answering the bells I tweeted on Saturday. Like, you know... Compared, you know, I've watched you last year, and obviously, I've always felt you've been so talented. But this year, I feel like you're showing your talent, and you've got the car underneath you to basically showcase what you can do. And it's just a matter of, you know, like, you had the halfway break, which helped you catch up, but you also, you know, you calmed down after that little incident with Jesse Love, and were able to refocus and get yourself that top 10. And I know, obviously, you're certainly focused on getting more out of this car as the season progresses. So, I mean, that in itself, I feel like having a good team, you know, having the equipment and that confidence, it certainly has to pay dividends for sure.
Yeah, it's, trust me, after turning a couple laps during the race at Phoenix, I was just feeling really good about myself. And a fun fact about that race in Phoenix, just before I had my fuel problem, the fuel problem kind of started to pick up during a caution, and just before I lost fuel pressure, I was actually about to go on the radio and thank my team and tell them like how happy I am with the car and how I think we're going to have a good season with this car. And unfortunately, that's when I lost fuel pressure, but I still think of it. And it's last year, it was a learning experience. And I thought as positive as I could with the car I had. But of course, just constantly getting a similar finish in that car, kind of killed my confidence in some ways. Like, I got stronger and I learned. But yeah, that car was a bit of a struggle. it was funny. My dad and I, when we rebuilt the engine, we saw certain parts inside the engine. Usually a lot of things will have a date on it. And there's something from like 2009, 2010. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Now there's just parts in the engine that were made when I was like 8 years old. And now I'm racing it. That was very interesting about last year. And the thing is, for this year, the engine I have right now, the engine I actually used for Sonoma and Phoenix, that engine it's not new. It's not super used, but the parts in the engine, they're kind of old. And I definitely noticed that in Sonoma, I had pretty good torque off the corners, but like down the straights, I was lacking a little bit of horsepower. And the reason that I managed to pass certain people is just because I was really good about my corners. I was breaking deep. And you know, the thing is, the 16 actually started in front of me. He qualified in front of me. And I managed to, I remember how this happened. I braked much deeper into turn 7. I passed him without touching him. And I had a good runoff, and I knew that at some point he was going to catch me. And this is what actually got me frustrated, is just because I had passed him cleanly and he did not do the same in return. So as a driver, that's something that really got to me. But again, just keeping my head focused on the race, focusing on my lines and saving my tires. But that car is, so far, I'm pretty sure it's the best race car I have ever owned. Maybe not driven, but ever owned. But it's still a great car for us. As a family, we're very happy with that buy. So
it's like having a good set of new shoes, and your feet are agreeing with you, yes. And you're like, maybe I can take this. I know you love doing your runs at 5:30 in the morning. I'm sure you can agree with me when you have the perfect set of shoes. It doesn't matter how you feel, like you feel like you can get a little bit further than if you had an old set of shoes that maybe were comfortable, but obviously are killing you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's literally how it feels. That's a perfect way to describe it.
I always say that about when people get like a new set of General tires or Goodyear tires. I often go, oh, man, they just got a new set of shoes. I hope they take care of them.
You know, it's funny you say that because for Sonoma, that was the one track where it's like your car could feel super loose. And then you put those new set of shoes on and then all of a sudden it's tight. And when your car is tight and it has those new set of tires, you don't want to be too aggressive because then you instantly kill them. But you're just trying to drive a tight car around, and you're just waiting for the tires to get right. Because, like, sometimes having a new set of tires does not feel as good as a set of tires that have 5 laps on it. it's a bit hard to explain to someone who's probably never driven that. But it's, you know, the new tires, they're good, but, like, the perfect warm set that have 5 laps on it are a little bit better.
I'll say this. Maybe this will help these race fans understand it. It's like getting store-bought cookies or baking cookies in the oven. Obviously, if you're a real cookie fan,
Oh yeah, that's,
if you're a real cookie
that's,
fan.
That's a good way to explain it. Yeah. Yep, perfect way.
I never thought I'd mix up my favorite dessert with raisin, but here we are, and we're talking about cookies for an interview. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know what to respond with, but that is definitely a perfect way to explain it.
Well, hopefully no one steals that one from us, because I think that should be like your little code on the radio.
Yeah, I
hey,
got
Mom,
the perfect,
I need some cookies.
Yeah, I got the perfect set of cookies on the car.
There you go. Oh, goodness gracious. Maybe this is going to answer my question for you, where, you know, we talked about you working your way up the racing ladder. But what would you say has been some of your welcome to ARCA moments or welcome to stock car racing moments that's made you smile or laugh besides the metaphor I just made?
I really don't know how to answer that. I think something that you can do in an ARCA car or like a NASCAR that you can't really do in a sports car, like a Porsche, is literally hit those curbs and dirt drop like crazy. Like, I've driven a fair amount of Porsches on track, and you have to drive those with so much care. And the way I drove that ARCA car on track, I was hitting those curbs like nothing, and it was so fun. I actually found a video that someone had tagged me in of me like hitting a certain curb, and I had to screen record it and take it all the way to Snapchat and slow down the video because I just wanted to see myself in slow motion. I really just wanted to see that, but you know, that was so much fun. And when I was practicing at Utah Motorsports Campus, we have this section on the east track, and mind you, each side of the track is 2.2 miles, and the full track is 4.4 miles. And I was just practicing on the east track for one session, and the certain part of the track is called the attitude section, and you have this like sharp left to a right, and then back to a left, and each side has these huge curbs, and they're smooth, but like you can feel them, and you know, it was so fun hitting those, because I can't do that in, like, a Porsche or a Ferrari or even, like, a Miata. You can't really treat those cars the same as an ARCA car.
I was going to say, I think the ARCA car is more like it's a rough-and-tumble type of car, whereas those flashier sports cars are probably going to want a little bit more finesse on those corners.
Yeah.
But just the way you described it, I almost feel like I would... I can see what you're doing.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, like, when people like, will come to the track and they'll have a track day, everyone knows that I'm there, and it's always like, oh, hey, do you want to drive my car? And there's a lot of pretty cars here in Utah, and, you know, it's like driving a McLaren or the Ferrari, the Porsche. They're fun cars, and there's no doubt about it. But when they go ahead and ask me, like, what makes you choose a NASCAR? And to me, it's, like, it's a challenge. Like, you get into these exotic cars, and they basically drive themselves. I have so much fun with an ARCA car because, you know, there's no ABS or traction control. It's all you. And you're just wheeling it as much as you can on these huge tires. And I think it's just so much fun. I love a good challenge. It definitely, like, I did a good 200 laps at Utah Motorsports Campus before I went to Sonoma in the ARCA car, and I actually drove it for a NASA event, and people were having so much fun because they were out there in their street car, whether it's a Mustang or a Camaro, and then they have this ARCA car just flying past and just sending it into the corner and hitting these curves. And to them, they have fun watching it, and I have fun going up against them. And, yeah, that's definitely one of those things where I'm like, yep, nothing compares to a NASCAR.
I'm sure you'd feel that way once you work up the ladder and eventually hopefully get to race at the local track for me, Circuit of the Americas. I'd imagine you'd have a blast just driving it into this huge road course here.
Yeah. You know, I definitely do want to try and, like, get into test out these other road courses across the country. Because so far I've only driven Utah Motorsports Campus and Sonoma. And I definitely want to try, you know, Watkins Glen, VIR. I also want to try, trying to think of the track in California. Dang it, I forgot the name. I think it's Laguna Seca?
Or... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. And, like, I always hear about that track, and I so want to go there.
Oh, that is the ultimate racer's challenge in terms of very hard tight lines. And, of course,
yeah,
the corkscrew.
Yeah, I heard that. But whenever someone tells me it's a hard track, it just makes me smile. I'm like, yes, this sounds exciting.
Well, there you go. I'm just going to motivate you to go want to try that track one of these days.
Oh, yeah. You know, eventually I've talked about doing a track day there with my sponsor, HMH Construction. Unfortunately, it's the same day that I actually raced Colorado, but but yeah, I'm sure there's going to be another opportunity somewhere this year, and I'll definitely take it. But, yeah, I'll definitely find my way out to these other road course tracks.
No, that would be awesome for sure. I hope you certainly get to have that opportunity. And, you know, get to experience that, you know, and as we've seen too, you know, you're going to be continuing your family's legacy in racing. And also you're, like you said, you love the challenge of stock cars. It kind of connects me to my second to last question for you. You know, what's it mean to you to forge your own path, to not do what your mom did in off-road racing, but to be a stock car driver and know, like you said, you're being able to connect with these fans and in some ways empower them.
For me, it's like I have interest in all sorts of racing, of course, but, you know, I'm 100% into NASCAR. And I definitely do encourage people to follow what they love. I think something to help other people realize is just if you really want to get into it and you want to take it serious, the number one thing you have to learn is how to prioritize your money, how to save and what to spend. But I definitely love all sorts of racing. And for my mom being an off-road and then myself getting into off-road, you know, off-road is fun. It's very exciting. There's lots of contact because it was a short course off-road series. And going from off-road to asphalt modified, building my license, and then going into, at the time when it was called, K&N West, I definitely feel very honored to call myself a stock car racer. It's funny because when my parents and I were rolling into Sonoma Raceway on the first day, we were just like, man, out of all the times that we've watched the races at Sonoma, and we've been there. Not once did my parents ever think that their own daughter would be racing there. And not once did I ever think that. It was, I'm so blessed to have the life that I do. But yeah, it's definitely a special feeling.
That's awesome. And I think that, you know, I'm not a parent yet, but, you know, being an uncle of two young, of a nephew and a niece, I can't tell you how much pride I feel when they find their own interest. And they're just having their own happiness. That makes me feel happy, no matter, you know, how I feel about my day or what I'm going through. So I'm sure that's the same elation that your parents feel, knowing that you're doing your own thing and you are a stock car driver. It's not so much a consideration; it's a matter of fact. So certainly, you should embrace that.
Thank you. Yes, I do.
My last question for you, and by the way, this is a super fun interview. I'm having a really good time doing this with you. Thank you. I was going to say, you know, we've talked about how life's starting to look like it's getting back to normal, and that's awesome. I'm glad it is. It's getting towards the normalcy that we knew before things stopped with the pandemic last year, but what are some things that you're looking forward to doing that you missed out on last year?
For me, I'm a huge, like, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I'm a huge summer person. Like, I'm definitely someone that likes to go to the lake and hang out with really good people. that's something that I'm excited for, and making memories. And then, again, going to the races and then being with the fans, like, that's definitely something I missed from 2019, was the autograph sessions and meeting, like, all these little kids who want to get into racing and other young adults who want to get into racing and, like, just meeting them and connecting with them. That's something that I'm looking forward to. And I hope it goes back to normal this year. I do believe that it's also going to take time, and we're just going to have to be very patient about it. But yeah, I'm thinking very positive about this year with everything, not just my racing, but, you know, life in general. I think it's going to be great.
I think so too. And hopefully like you said, you have to be a little patient, because I think some of the aspects a lot of us do miss is not just traveling within the U.S., but outside of the U.S., you know. I'm sure.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see my family back in Australia at some point.
I was going to say that would probably be the first thing that you'd probably want to be doing, just like how I want to see my family and friends back in the Philippines that I have yet to, I haven't seen in the last decade. So it's I'm born and raised in the U.S., but I consider the Philippines my second home. So it's been. I was hoping to visit, you know, during this year, but obviously when the pandemic happened, I was like, well, that's going to halt things for a few more years. So,
yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like December 2019, I was actually planning to fly back home for a while. And I remember it's like kind of when January was happening, and we're just watching all this stuff unfold, and we're just, for us, it was like, it was horrible because we were like, what's going to happen with us in America? Because we're not actually, like, we're on a green card, we're not citizens, so we were very confused about it. And then our family in Australia, we were very concerned about them. And then, of course, racing. And it was a lot of compounding stuff. The start of 2020 was really tough. And the thing is that it was hard for everyone. We didn't take it personal. It was something that everyone was going through. But yeah, hopefully it gets better. I miss my brother. I miss my little cousins. There's cousins that I haven't met now. I really do miss them. And I honestly haven't been back to Australia since, I believe, 2009 or 2010. It's been such a long time. I've had like 3 cousins come over. My brother has come over before. But yeah, I have not seen the rest of my family in such a long time.
Well, it sounds like to me when things eventually open up again and we all feel like we can do what we missed out on doing, that's going to be one of the first things you'll do.
It's funny because, like, every time the family calls, we're always, like, planning, like, okay, what should we do when this finally opens back up? Like, it's probably not going to open back up anytime soon, but what should we do? It's one of those things where you're just constantly planning. Hopefully it's not just America that goes back to normal, but, like, all the other countries. Like, we keep seeing on the news, like, how Australia is not going to open up anytime soon, but America is, so it's hard. But, you know, it's going to take time, but hopefully it gets better.
That's the way we've gotten through it here in the U.S., and I'm sure if we support other countries as well, not just on social media, but just being good human beings, I think we'll get there soon enough so that we can, you know, be the world that we are, not so much, like, that's the weird thing about this whole, we're almost back to normal phase in America. It's like, well, great, I want to see the rest of the world, too. I hope we get to be there, too, because that's why we're living in this planet Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like watching the Formula One race in Monaco, and it's great because they have allowed some people in, but it's like, it just wasn't the same, because usually that race is just packed full of just people there in general, the celebrities. You know, that's a race where everyone wants to be at, and it was just weird watching it on TV, like, wow, it's a little empty there.
Yeah,
you're just like hoping that next year it's going to go back to normal. But yeah.
Well, I sure hope so. That's a great little you know, situation that you just brought up is, you know, F1 is basically the epitome of what the world is as a whole. But with racing cars and the 20 top drivers in that series, and just to watch, like you said, to watch these races on ESPN, and a lot of these are competitors only, or, you know, limited capacity for a sport that is so global, so beloved by a lot of people. It is weird just to see the cars on the track, and that's about it. It's like, yeah, it's Monaco. That's the big event. And this past weekend in Baku, I was like, that's it? There's no crowd? The crowd would have been, like, killing it with how unpredictable that race was.
Yeah, it, you know, it is crazy. It's like, just the lockdown situation, but it's one of those things where it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you can't immediately go back to normal. Like, just being patient and being positive, I think, will help.
Sounds a lot like racing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Racing definitely takes a lot of patience.
Yes, it does, for sure.